This episode brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Shifting a little money here, a little there, and hoping it all works out? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can get a better budgeter and potentially lower your insurance bill too. You tell Progressive what you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll help find you options within your budget. Try it today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
Fellas, you know Degree Cool Rush deodorant, right? Well, last year they changed the formula, and guys were mad about it. One dude even started a petition. So guess what? Degree heard us, admitted they messed up, and brought the original Cool Rush scent back exactly how it was. And it's in Walmart, Target, and other stores now for under $4. So grab some and remember why its cool, crisp, and fresh scent made it the number one men's antiperspirant for the last decade. Degree Cool Rush is back, and it smells like victory for all of us.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I love this.
Rich Eisen is here.
The mojo's back.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
From half court, pulls up for a three. It's good. Funny heel.
Kick to the corner. Turner beat the clock and hit a three.
Picked off by Westbrook. Got two hands.
Today's guests, host of Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. ESPN NBA reporter Dave McMenamin, author and comedian Carol Leifer. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show live on the Roku Sports Channel, live on this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate on the Infinity Sports Network. We're live on Sirius XM. We're live on the Odyssey stream. We say hello to everybody out there listening to us later on for our podcast version, all 3 hours. Check it out where you get your podcasts. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We got a backstop on our YouTube page as well. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Closing in on 930,000 followers/subscribers there. Very proud of that. Mike Florio is first up. We'll talk some NFL because we always like doing that. Dave McMenamin is here in studio.
Hey, Matt, too.
You know, I mean, has he physically been here before?
No.
No.
Well, I mean, his better half beat him to the punch.
That's true.
Malika Andrews was the guest of Women's Sports Now last week.
Here. Maybe he heard it at home and was
she
like,
applied some pressure.
You know what?
Got to get in there.
I understand.
The pressure. You get it, right?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I live it. Every day. Every day. Just trying to be consistent. We're talking about hosting the show, right?
Yeah, of course.
And we'll go down to Seinfeld Curb, Larry Sanders, Dave Letterman, SNL, Wormhole, when the longtime writer Carol Leifer joins us in studio in support of this book, which is an outstanding title, How to Write a Funny Speech for a Wedding, Bar Mitzvah, Graduation, and Every Other Event You Didn't Want to Go to in the First Place. That's the name of the book. It takes up the entire cover, and she'll be here in studio.
That's a great title.
Some of her writing credits, the Marlboro Rye episode. You see what I'm saying? The Secretary, the episode where George needed to get a secretary for the Yankees, and he hired somebody that was apparently not attractive on purpose.
And then we know what happened there.
Yada, yada, yada. Different episode. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you?
I'm great. What's up, man?
What's up, DJ Mikey D's
and D's Nuts? How you doing?
TJ, I'm giving you the Rich Eisen Show hug right now.
For what?
But dude, I was hoping your Clippers would advance. I know Nuggets fans would say the exact opposite, but the person to send you home being Russell Westbrook, which is kind of wild.
It makes complete sense when you know the Clippers history.
Well, so I send my my best to you at Clipper Nation.
It's the first time you're being sincere with that.
I am being very sincere.
Normally, you kind of.
Hey, man, my kids love going to Intuit Dome. They love going to Clippers games. Zan went to the one where basically the season ended.
Yeah.
There's that too. That's where it all wound up.
It's going to waste for the rest of the spring, though. That just
so you know. Yeah. So, hey, and listen, you know who I feel for? Michael Malone getting fired from the Nuggets because in part he was playing Russell Westbrook too much. And guess who played Russell Westbrook, his replacement, and guess the reason why the Nuggets are on in the next second round? A large part, Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, right?
It's amazing how these things happen.
Did Michael Malone watch any of these games, you think?
I don't know. He must be sitting there going, oh, so it's okay to play him now, huh?
At any rate.
Yeah,
that still was weird.
You know, game seven in that series was a close one up until halftime, and then second half, the entirety of all 5,280 feet crashed in on the Clippers from Denver. That thing was just done in a heartbeat. It was like a 24-4 run and see ya. And that's the old school Nuggets, right? Where they could just blitz you with points and end the game on the spot. Doesn't matter what quarter you're in. As long as they catch fire and you can't stop Jokic, you can't stop Murray, you can't stop, you know, Gordon or Porter Jr., just keep naming them.
Yep.
And they've got a championship pedigree, and that's something. And that's what the Nuggets did to the Clippers. But blitzing somebody with a ton of points and playing some timely defense, that is the calling card back in the day of the Golden State Warriors. That was the calling card. Steph would just blitz you. Klay would blitz you. Draymond would do the defensive thing. And then somebody else named Iguodala, or then Durant, obviously. Yeah. And you couldn't beat him. And this year, it looked like the Warriors' run was truly going to come to an end. Because they're looking for that third man in. Andrew Wiggins didn't appear to be it.
Not this year.
And they went ahead and decided at the trade deadline to go and bring in Jimmy Butler and hope that Buddy Hield would catch fire. And who would take the role of Klay Thompson? Who would take the role of the Splash Brother? Well, last night, Buddy Hield raised his hand and said, it'll be me. It shall be me. And Buddy tied an NBA Game 7 record with Game 7 record with six first-half threes. And wound up with nine in the game, which tied Dante DiVincenzo. How about that for a name?
Great name.
For the Big Ragu.
Big Ragu.
For the most three-pointers ever drained in a Game 7 in NBA playoff history. And Buddy Hield now has that next to his name. And Curry getting blitzed on defense by the Houston Rockets. And I'll just say this about the Rockets real quick before I give the flowers to the Warriors. Also, speaking as a Knicks fan, get yourself a Thompson if you can. Are they out of him?
I don't know. Might be more.
Because, you know, I know Jalen Green's got a big future and he's already hitting it, and same with Şengün. This kid, Amen Thompson, is a star in the making. My goodness gracious. They would just put him right at half court and lock down Steph Curry. And he couldn't get open. And he didn't make a three until the third quarter. And as a matter of fact, he and Jimmy Butler had 11 combined points in the first half. And the Warriors were getting blitzed. As soon as Steph was being picked up all 94 feet. At any rate, the Warriors got it done. And Curry was the one who helped with Buddy Hield go night-night on this team in the fourth quarter. And Jimmy Butler was making his shots. And they move on. This team that was dead in the water prior to the trade deadline. Mike Dunleavy Jr., the general manager, they took a quick shot of him as the Warriors took a 20-point lead late, blitzing the Rockets late. Man, he wasn't showing any emotion, but I assure you inside he's doing cartwheels because his maneuvers, his button pushing worked out, saved the season, and now here come the Warriors again doing their thing. And Draymond Green at the forefront of it. I mean, in the same way that some people like to put salt on their ice cream, you know? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true.
Some people like the sour with the sweet. I mean, Draymond is the a-hole to Steph Curry's flowers, and he's the good cop. And then there's a bad cop. And he did it again last night, picking up a technical when his limbs frequently lose control. Or he loses control of his limbs all of a sudden, huh?
Yeah, all of a sudden.
Where contact is made and then there's a follow through. whether it's to somebody's nuts or last night it was to Van Vliet's face, you know? And
funny how he's the only one that happens to.
Well, I mean, there's other ones in this league, too, and the Rockets have one of their own, and Dylan Brooks, too, pal. You know?
Really? I've never seen Dylan Brooks kick someone in the nuts times.
That's true.
Flail his arms about, stomp on someone's chest.
He goes about his business slightly different way. Aggravating. But
when Draymond reins it in and he doesn't do that, guy's a Hall of Famer. Like, right now. Like, if he stopped playing, like, right now. This guy is in the Basketball Hall of Fame and apparently led a team meeting prior to Game 7 in which everybody spoke. And he had this to say about that leading to a win in Game 7 after.
I think what goes into it is it's really deciding who's going to get a speech. Obviously, I always try to defer to Steph, defer to Jimmy, and they wanted me to speak. But I had a lot to say. And like I said, most importantly was calling myself out. You know, you can't go into a game 7 expecting guys to rally off the game we had before and not address it. And so I wanted to address that, number one. But then secondly, tell everybody else what we needed, which was a togetherness like no other. And our huddles together, trusting in each other and believing. And so I thought it was much needed. But as much as I think this team needed it, I feel like I needed it for myself even more. Because you got to be accountable. You can't be a leader and not be accountable. And you call other guys out. When their stinks, then you better say when yours does too. And that's what I tried to make a point in doing.
Yeah, and with the technical he picked up, he also scored the first 5 points and had 10 in the first half, which was one fewer than what Jimmy Butler and Steph had in the first half. And him and Buddy Hield kept the thing afloat in time for take a 12-point lead at halftime. You know, they kept Van Vliet off the free throw line. As a matter of fact, Van Vliet was the one who lost his composure late in the game with a brutal take foul. You know, and at the end of the day, the Warriors move on. And it looks like Steph is appearing with zero Fs left to give, and I kind of dig that, Steph Curry. Hit it.
Secondarily, you've won 5 series now in Houston. What do you think your reputation is in the city?
I'm a winner.
Now, for the radio audience, Steph was wearing sunglasses. I don't usually see Steph in sunglasses at the post-game press conference. As a matter of fact, I don't recall him ever doing that. In case you're wondering what might be up with that. Is this dark Steph? I don't know. What's going on? but a radio station, 95.7 The Game, did a split screen with Steph last night. And Şengün and Dylan Brooks after Game 5, the Rockets' victory of the first end of back-to-back victories to force a Game 7, they were wearing sunglasses. And in case you're wondering if this was intentional or not, Draymond Green reposted it with some laughing emojis. And it looks like Steph is showing up with zero Fs to give, and that's good. And it may be because he's at the back end, as he pointed out, they're running out of windows for their championship runs. Maybe that's what it is, because he's longer in the tooth and he's just like most people as they get longer in the tooth without Fs to give. Mike, you're approaching work with that quite a bit these days, I see.
Oh, stop. Okay. Whoa. Come on. You have to go there, Rich.
No, I'm just saying. Listen. It's a good thing Steph is bringing that attitude to the second round, because he's taking on a young Turk who's already out of Fs to give, and he's basically giving it to people who dare speak to him during the games from the crowd. Let's just say here in Los Angeles when he was ready to break out a measuring stick a few days ago. And that's Anthony Edwards. And I can't wait for this second round series. I'll tell you what, Chris, obviously between us, that starts tonight in game one, because these are our teams and it's old school. Like Nick Celtics, okay, back in the day when it was on and cracking and Larry Bird was doing the one cracking most of the skulls. Right? Last night, the Pacers drew first blood in Cleveland. They, by the way, won four out of five against the Cavs this year now, including the regular season. Or tonight, the Nuggets and the ultimate Young Turks in the NBA in Oklahoma City and their 64 wins, right? Like, these are all, or how many wins? The Cavs had 64 wins. The Thunder, with a remarkable number of wins for themselves this year.
Yeah, they had 68.
68. I shorted them some. They almost had damn near 70. But I'll tell you what, man. Warriors versus Timberwolves and Anthony Edwards, who has, in the past couple of years, sent Devin Booker and Kevin Durant home, sent the Denver Nuggets home, just sent Luka and LeBron home, is now big game hunting on Steph and Draymond and playoff Jimmy. And I don't know if everybody's already seen some of the videos on their phones of a previous instance between Draymond and Anthony Edwards chit-chatting, if you will, underneath the rim after Draymond hard fouled him. This thing is going to be on. And I proffer to say the Minnesota Timberwolves did not think, when they were the sixth seed going into the Downtown Hoops Dojo here in Los Angeles, California, just a couple weeks ago, think that they would be home court advantage six seeds in round two. And they are. But they're against a Warriors team that just did what they just did to the Rockets and their young team. This is going to be a fun one, guys. I'm looking forward to this one.
Yeah, these four series are going to be
excellent. I'm looking forward. Yeah, very much so. Very much so. Because I think you could say, with all due respect to Detroit and Milwaukee, the top four teams in the East have advanced, right?
Yeah.
This regular season.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in the West, though, I mean, it was just a mosh pit of nastiness. And who knew who was going to come out of the first round, right? You had to assume it was going to be OKC, and then the rest was a toss-up, right? Wouldn't you say?
Big time.
No.
Why? Because you thought the Clippers were going to lose to the Nuggets all along? Is that your statement?
I mean, come on, man. It's like, yeah, let's be honest. And then we thought the T-Wolves were going to take out the Lakers.
Really?
And I picked the Warriors to beat the Rockets.
I thought if you just look at records this year, I mean, they were all four games within each other. Seeds 2 through 8.
Yeah.
You know, in the standing. Yeah. So, you know, it was kind of a coin flip series all along, even though I might have been hoping for the T-Wolves to knock off the Lakers.
So there you have it. The Elite Eight.
Let's go.
Of the NBA has been set.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
And tonight,
fun games.
We get game one in Boston.
Yep.
And game one in Oklahoma City.
People are acting like the Knicks have zero chance to.
Yeah, like, they're like talking.
Not to win this series, but to even make it competitive.
Well,
like,
again, at least they're healthy going into this thing.
That's all you can ask for.
And Dave McManaman will be here in studio an hour or two to break it all down for us. And coming up next, though, let's talk National Football League. The draft is going to wind up in Washington, D.C. I heard that rumor when I was in Green Bay.
Oh, you did?
I did. But, you know, I heard Denver was in the mix. I heard Carolina was in the mix, too. So there's lots of cities raising their hands to be the draft after Pittsburgh, which is next year, and the National Mall. I mean, that's a pretty sweet spot to figure this thing out. So the draft is going to be held in the National Mall. My goodness, and that's being announced. We'll talk about all of this, the draft, and what was on Aaron Rodgers' hand. Believe it or not, that's a conversation coming out of the Kentucky Derby weekend. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, coming up here on The Rich Eisen Show. Okay, this is not a drill. Get ready, because Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, hits theaters May 23rd, and I'm counting down the days. This is it. the biggest practical action movie ever made. Tom Cruise and director Christopher McQuarrie are back pushing the limits of what action cinema can do. We're talking real stunts, real danger, and real edge of your seat intensity, all shot in jaw-dropping locations around the world. Did you see that trailer? Tom Cruise free-falling through fire, Haley Atwell back in action, and the whole crew reunited. Ving Rhames, Simon Pegg, Isai Morales. It's like the ultimate global team-up. This franchise started almost 30 years ago, and it just keeps getting better. Mission is more than a movie. It's a high-stakes ride built on loyalty, friendship, sacrifice, and seriously gutsy stunts. So, yeah, I'm beyond excited to see Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, on the biggest screen possible in a theater, May 23rd. This summer, the mission is clear. Don't miss it. Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal check for traffic and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Listen, it's now Cinco de Mayo.
Yes.
The day after
May the 4th be with you.
The Star Wars Day, Star May Wars the 4th day. Be with you, which is exciting for Star Wars fans. Somewhat insulting for people with a lisp. Just saying.
Mike Tyson?
Just saying. You know, long story short.
Okay.
We're still waiting on Aaron Rodgers. And we're out of options here in the media. We're just out of options.
Here, so, coach.
Sure enough. You know, I get an email from the NFL Network assignment desk / you know, research desk, all of it. And the lead headline of all the headlines that they cull for folks like me to just be kept up to speed is from TMZ. And it is that a Super Bowl ring or one from a wedding? As Aaron Rodgers appeared at an event Friday night in advance of the Kentucky Derby with what appears to be a ring on his left ring finger. And we all know Rodgers, when he was on McAfee last time, was talking about being in a meaningful relationship. And I people are like looking at the ring and going, does that mean he's gotten through whatever he needs to work through, like relationship wise? To the point where he's now going to now he'll tell the Steelers I do. Honestly, like this is happening because he's working on some things. He was also saying some important people in his inner circle were, you know, going through some things that caused him to not be ready for football. Is he ready to settle down with the Steelers? I mean, that's literally what's happening right now. And TMZ's on the case.
Wow.
That, I kid you not, was the lead headline on my email from the NFL Network today.
Really?
On Cinco de Mayo. Yes, sir. Under the category of miscellaneous. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Always great to check back in with our friend Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports. Good to see you, Mike. How are you, sir?
Doing great, Rich. I was listening to everything you said, and yes, it occurred to me that May the 4th be with you. It kind of has a Sylvester the Cat crossover, which dates me and you, because I'm sure you know who Sylvester is. Do kids know who Sylvester the Cat is these days?
I mean, if we went Daffy Duck, that might be a little bit closer.
True.
Any cartoon character with a lisp, you know? I mean, I get it. May the 4th be with you. I understand it and I respect it. But just
there were a lot of speech impediments in the cartoons of our youth.
Of course.
Elmer Fudd. Mm.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
I guess there isn't a lot you can do with a cartoon voice. So let's make it sound funny by giving the character a speech impediment.
It's a Mel Blanc situation, Mike. I'll just go deep into it.
There's only so much Mel Blanc can do.
By the way, right? Here in Los Angeles, California, the cemetery in which he and other famous people are buried is, in fact, the site of frequent movies in the park viewings, where people go to the cemetery and watch movies at night, I swear to God. And if you pass by Mel Blanc's tombstone, it says, "That's all, folks," on it. I swear to you, that's the truth, Mike. But this is what you talk about on the football on May the 5th. Although here on Cinco de Mayo, it does appear the nation's capital is about to be awarded an NFL draft, Mike. Looks like that's happening.
I got one last point.
Sure.
Is it possible Aaron Rodgers is wearing a wedding ring as a sociological experiment like Costanza once did?
Good question. I don't know. I mean, I'm serious. This was the lead item from the NFL Network today, because we are, you know, we're just waiting, just like everyone else, to see if there's any advancement in his personal life that will cause him to be closer to saying I do to the Steelers in his professional life. Mike?
And see, for Rodgers, Rich, I think the sociological experiment wouldn't be, let's see if women are more attracted to me while wearing a wedding ring. It would be, can I get the media to talk about it so I can go on McAfee show at some point in the future and complain about the fact that we're talking about his wedding ring?
When are the Steelers, you know, like, are you hearing about a drop dead date, Mike, or no? Not at all.
I was told before the draft, and I know that Aaron Rodgers prides himself on no one knowing anything about anything he ever does.
Right.
I was told before the draft by someone in a position to know that Rodgers to the Steelers is happening. It's just a question of when. And it dawned on me last week, Rich, what's coming up on May the 14th? That is the day the schedule gets revealed.
Correct.
I remember last year how Mike North, the VP of Broadcast Planning and Operations, said the Jets owe us one, and they had all those short week primetime games early in the season. If you're Rodgers, don't you just at this point wait until after the schedule's out? Because it's not like the Steelers are going to get fewer primetime games than what they'd otherwise get, but if you drop Rodgers officially onto the Steelers, there's a chance they're going to get more, especially early in the season.
Well, especially when you look at their schedule, Mike, they stroll through the NFC North and the AFC East, both of Rodgers' previous stomping grounds. And speaking of grounds stomping, you know, the road games include a visit to the Jets and, famously, a spot where he once put on a championship belt with his hands to say that he owned the team and the Bears. There are many, and the Packers are on their list as well, along with the rest of the AFC North. I mean, good Lord, are these games that, with the Bills as well, Seahawks, this would be a knockdown dragout for a lot of the league's television partners to say, we want the Steelers.
And if it all falls through, it's Mason Rudolph. Have fun with that, primetime network partners, including NBC, my employer. So I assume they're operating under the assumption that Rodgers is going to join the Steelers. But we know with Rodgers, nothing is official until he goes on McAfee show and tells us it's official. I was told it's happening. Until it happens, who knows what Rodgers is going to do. But at this point, when you look at what the Steelers did or didn't do in the draft, what Art Rooney said during the draft, I think that was the clearest indication yet, the way he characterized, I believe Aaron wants to come here. They didn't draft anybody who's going to compete to play quarterback this year in taking Will Howard. They had multiple shots at Shedeur Sanders. I think the seat is being kept warm for Aaron Rodgers, and they expect him to show up. And there would probably be much consternation at the team facility if they get a text message or a FaceTime one day, because we know the phone doesn't work at his house, telling them, sorry, I've decided not to play for you.
Mike Florio here on the Rich Eisen Show. 9 days now removed from Shedeur Sanders finally hearing his name from the podium in Green Bay. What's your opinion on what happened? And your report.
Simplest explanations are often the most easy to digest, especially for someone with a relaxed brain like me. At the end of the day, Rich, I spoke to a GM last week. I wrote about this in the aftermath of the conversation. There was a perception that Shedeur Sanders entered the process acting more like he was being recruited than he was being interviewed. And Dion, his father, kind of did the same thing in 1989. Great story about how he met with the Giants. They dropped this giant binder in front of him with this long test in it. And he said, when do you guys pick? They said number 18. He got up and left. He said, I don't have time for this. I'm not going to be on the board when you draft. Dion had once-in-a-lifetime talent. Dion could get away with that. No one was going to be scared away by an attitude that, hey, I'm one of the best players in the draft. I'm one of the best players ever. Pick me or don't. When you're talking about a guy who doesn't have the same skill set as his dad and who plays quarterback, a position where you have to demonstrate a certain amount of commitment and willingness to show up early and stay late and all of that, I can understand how it started and how it became that free fall that went all the way to the Browns at 144. And then, of course, the Browns, who have an obsession with analytics, they're looking at the draft board. They're seeing the gap in their best available players between Shedeur Sanders and everybody else. They put his name on the card. And now the circus comes to town as it relates to having five quarterbacks, and we don't know who the starter is going to be. But it does give Shedeur Sanders an opportunity when you look one by one at the contenders and their circumstances, like Deshaun Watson, highly unlikely to play this year. Shedeur Sanders has a chance to start as soon as week one.
Mike Florio here on the Rich Eisen Show. What else from the draft hits you 9 days later? I'll just give you the floor on whatever else you're keen on, Mike.
Hey, Rich. You know, we don't pick the stories. The stories pick us. Mm. And this whole prank call thing, it was like the gift that kept on giving. And all these different guys who got prank called, they got prank called before they were officially picked. There were multiple players who got prank called after they'd been selected and told they were traded. Ashton Jenny of the Raiders recently said that that happened to him. He was told he'd been traded to the Cowboys. I know of another player who had that same thing happen. Along the way, I heard about a player who once received a phone call from a friend who was messing with him, telling him he'd been traded. This was years ago. Guy's not in the league anymore. He packed up and went to the airport and he called his agent on the way. And his agent said, what the hell are you talking about? You haven't been traded. So the lost art of the prank call is now back. And the league's got some work to do by next April, because the gauntlet has been thrown down for anyone out there that wants to go Jerky Boys, Crank Yankers, Bart Simpson,
nice,
and get these numbers and make these prank calls during the draft next year.
Well, the answer is, you know, Kara Henderson Snead, a longtime friend of mine, I've known her since my ESPN days, said FaceTime it. That's it. End of story. FaceTime it. Yeah, obviously, it might be difficult for a draft drafted player to hear in his party with you know, dozens of people around milling about. You know, you might have to somehow put it to your ear, but other than that, you at least get to see who it is and end of the story, because I understand that there is an art of the prank call and everything like that, but you know, it's just, at the end of the day, it's just not funny and it's terrible, and it's something that does need to be addressed, certainly if as you pointed out, you know, in one of your posts, how it wound up in the hands of the prank caller, Mike.
Well,
you know,
and Rich, I got both communications that were sent by the league that really became the heart of this case before we even knew that it was Falcons defense coordinator Jeff Ulbrich who had the email somehow opened on his iPad as his son somehow happened to walk by while he was visiting his parents and instantly had this lightning bolt idea. I'm going to write the number down and prank call Shedeur Sanders. But this happened not because the Falcons mishandled confidential information that was given to them by the league. After they sent out the memo with 45 names and numbers on it on Wednesday, April 23rd, there was a supplemental communication that went by email with just Shedeur Sanders' updated phone number, and they sent it to the email distribution list that gets the daily transaction report. My best estimate is 2,000 people get that, and Albrecht got it directly from the league. He got Shedeur Sanders' updated draft day phone number in an email to him from the league. This wasn't the Falcons mishandling confidential information. This was the league literally putting that number on blast to 2,000 people. So once you do that, you're asking for someone to misuse that number.
And the Falcons just said, we'll still take the fine hit instead of saying we didn't give it to him. I mean, that's interesting.
Well, there still was an element of, and look, I've heard from many people about the statement the Falcons put out. Mm-hmm. You can come to your own conclusion as to whether or not it's convenient, as to whether or not it's accurate, as to whether or not it really tells the whole story. But the quickest way to end this is just take the punishment and move on. Because at the end of the day, one of their employees, one of their key employees on the coaching staff, mishandled that information, even if it came to him directly from the league. And I think that it was decided the best thing we can do here is just end this and move on.
Mike Florio here on the Rich Eisen Show. So and the next order of business is the May meeting of ownership. And one of the most recent posts on profootballtalk.com is about the tush push and it being now part of a much larger picture that could potentially get it through to pass, and I'll give you the floor on what you think is going to happen with the tush push.
And this all came up during the league meetings when the Packers had a very specific proposal that would have outlawed immediate pushing of the player who receives the snap. Well, that introduces all sorts of potential for inconsistencies. What does immediate mean? Is it a second? How do we measure it? Could you imagine what would have happened if flag gets thrown after a tush push and there's an interpretation by the officials that it was too early and it takes a touchdown off the board in a playoff game? So that was a bad proposal from the get-go. It began to pivot at Palm Beach to this idea of let's just get rid of all pushing. That's the easiest way to do it. We'll get rid of all pushing downfield anywhere. And that is the direction in which the wind is blowing very strongly right now. All pushing is going to be eliminated. And this all started because, frankly, they had a rule on the books against pushing and pulling of a ball carrier in 2006, in part because they recognized they never throw a flag for pushing a ball carrier. In fact, there hasn't been a penalty called for assisting a runner since the 1991 playoffs. they just allowed pushing. And it took 16 years for the Eagles to realize, and kudos to them for figuring it out, let's just build this into our playbook. If you're allowed to push a player, let's push him right out of the gate. So I believe what's going to happen, there'll be at least 24 votes encouraged strongly by the league office to get rid of all pushing. And then two things, Rich. One, we'll see some downfield pushing that isn't called in the future. And two, the Eagles are still going to have a pretty damn effective quarterback sneak that they'll still use. And they'll still get fourth and one, fourth and two, third and two. They basically take first and 10 and shrink it down to first and eight. That quarterback sneak is largely driven by the push up front, not the push from behind.
Interesting, Mike, because, I mean, if you think about it, the vote, even with the language that you just pointed out, is still so widely open to interpretation that the unintended consequence, which is the way a lot of owners vote on these rules, is like, if we say yes, what's going to happen that we don't intend? And thus extrapolate it out, and thus they might say no because of it. Even with all of that language, it was split right down the middle. So if now you're saying the language is clearer to just remove any pushing or pulling anywhere on the field, you might get enough votes to get this out of the game. And I'm wondering if that is in fact in the cards in a couple of days.
Let's be clear that I'm the one saying this, not you. I don't want to get you in any trouble. I'm used to it. This ties back to the Falcons. Rich McKay has been the chairman of the competition committee forever. And the Falcons in the past have gotten, I'm going to say arguably, but it's not even arguably. They've gotten lenient punishments for various things they've done, including using fake crowd noise for the 2013 season. They lost a fifth round pick for that. Most people would say that's probably a bigger infraction than a fifth round pick would suggest, especially because the 49ers not long ago lost a fifth round pick for an accounting mistake that was determined to have no impact or intent to circumvent the salary cap. Rich McKay is in position, and this is believed by some in the league, and some may be understating it. Rich McKay is in position to push through whatever the league office wants. He's been the chair of that competition committee forever. People have been saying, hey, why don't we rotate that position out? This is a conduit to get the competition committee to get behind what the league wants to do. And even though this proposal came from the Packers, the proposal to change the playoff seating came from the Lions. And then team president Rod Wood blurted out that the league approached them and offered to partner on this. So it looked like a team proposal, but the league wanted it. Bottom line, the league wants this. The commissioner wants this. If you listen to the things he says, it's lurking there, not even all that far between the lines. If he wants it, he's going to get it. There's going to be 24 votes to get rid of all pushing come May 20, May 21, when the owners get together in Minneapolis.
Mike Florio, well, gee, we're out of time now if you're going to talk like that.
Yeah, we got to go. Got to go. See ya.
Before I let you go,
that
Mike.
Connection.
No, that's, what? when it's all said and done, Brock Purdy's number per year starts with a 5, and then what's the next number? Lower or higher than a 5? Not to go Price is Right on you here, lower or higher than a 5?
I laid out, and I try to find patterns, and I try to take things that have happened and extrapolate what will happen next. The George Kittle contract that was just signed last week, when we got the full numbers, because you know how the game goes. There's the, there's the big number that comes out and everybody sees it. And then a day or two later, you get the real numbers. I think what's going to happen, and this is based on the Kittle contract, I think Purdy's going to have 2 years, fully guaranteed, sizable money, maybe like the Kirk Cousins, $90 million over 2 years, which will be a hell of a lot of money for a guy that's made $2.3 million from the 49ers in three total seasons of football. But when you see the new money average per year, that's the big number that gets compared to all the others. There are ways to pump that up. There are ways to put some money into the back end years to get him north of 55. I'm thinking it's going to be 55.1, 55.1, which will put him ahead of everyone but Dak Prescott and Josh Allen. But when you scratch it and look at it, it's probably going to be, and this is just my interpretation based on Kittle's contract, it's going to be a 2-year commitment for a lot of money. Year 3, maybe partially guaranteed, maybe a way to unlock more guarantees for year 3. But, you know, no team other than the Browns, and we saw how that worked out, Rich, no team makes a commitment of more than 3 years fully guaranteed to a quarterback on a contract other than the rookie deal. The Dolphins did it with Tua Tagovailoa. Others have done it. Usually it's 2 years. For some teams like the Seahawks, Sam Darnold, Geno Smith, 1 year. Others have 1 year. Matthew Stafford, year at a time. I think it's going to be 2 years, clear and firm, guaranteed from signing with Brock Purdy. And I would guess somewhere between 90 and 100 million. And then after that, it's going to be year to year for the 49ers with some back end years that there'll probably be a new contract before we get to them. But those numbers will make that APY. That'll allow the agent to use the Purdy contract to try to get new clients, because that's the whole ball game. You get that number out there, the tweet mentions the agent, and then the agent is the superstar that hopes the phone starts ringing like, you know, Saul when he does the, the magic fingers to try to get the phone to ring.
Nice. You want to call your shot? When does it happen? Training camp? Prior to training camp? Opening training camp? What do we got? What's your guess?
Let's say before OTAs.
Wow.
I'll go with before OTAs. Because even though he's got the red jersey or whatever color the 49ers wear, because they wear red jerseys, but whenever he's got the don't touch jersey, there's still something could happen. You're out there and you're in the fray and you could have an injury that would completely derail his effort to get paid.
Yes.
I think from his perspective, I'm not taking part in a single snap of OTAs unless I have my new contract.
Mike Florio, greatly appreciated. I just mentioned Price is Right rules. Normally when you say $1, you're trying to win, but you'd be over if you're trying to get copies of Father of Mine and Son of Mine, 99-cent ebook on Amazon. That's out there right now, 99 cents, Mike.
Yes, 99 cents. You can find nothing cheaper than that.
Correct.
You are getting your money's. I can guarantee you for 99 cents, you're getting your money's worth. And I'll tell anyone out there, if you actually buy it and read it and hate it, I will send you the dollar. I'll even add in the penny.
Oh.
If you can convince me you've read it. You've got to convince me you've read it. I had somebody say to me once, yeah. Hey, man, I thanks for sending me your book. I loved it. And I said, what's it about? And the response was, please don't do this to me. So you have to convince me you read it, and I'll send you a dollar if you hated it.
Mike Florio, everybody. It's he personally guarantees it. Great to see you, bud. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Rich. See you, buddy.
You got it. That's Mike Florio right here on the Rich Eisen Show, profootballtalk.com. Check it all out. And obviously everything he does on NBC. Let's take a break. Andrew Bogish is here with a sports update. This message is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. May is Military Appreciation Month, and we're celebrating the military community that goes above and beyond every day with Navy Federal Credit Union. Navy Federal was created for the military community and is dedicated to ensuring that its members feel celebrated and honored every single day. For over 90 years, Navy Federal's mission has been to support and uplift the military community, and this May is no different. It's not just a credit union, it's also a partner dedicated to helping its members achieve their financial goals. All active duty, veterans, and members of military families are eligible to join. Navy Federal is excited to celebrate Military Appreciation Month as a special time to recognize our troops and the profound contributions they make. Learn more at NavyFederal.org/celebrate. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. In the NFL, there is no margin for error. As you know, one mistake can change the outcome of an entire game. That's the same thing about your life and making sure you get the proper sleep so you get done in your day exactly what you want because you're focused and you have everything in order. And the people who can help you do that are our friends at Sleep Number. Their mission is to provide the players of the NFL and you with data and insights to optimize your sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Don't just take my word for it. How about 95% of the Los Angeles Rams? They've got a Sleep Number bed. 80% of the Kansas City Chiefs, they have a Sleep Number bed. 90% of the Vikings have a Sleep Number bed. You should have a Sleep Number bed. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart, but it means the world of difference because we can adjust our side of the bed to the exact firmness that we want and allows for working out or recovery. It's game-changing. So if you're in the market for a new bed, you should stop at a Sleep Number store right now. See your store or sleepnumber.com for details. Let's get into the fact that this is Atlanta.
Love it.
Okay.
This city is so beautiful, man. This city is so dear to my heart. It because I chose it. You know, it was different when I came out in the draft because I had gone to a All-American function here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And when I got to the city and went to the airport, I was like, dang. We did a little thing at the hospital. I was like, dang. Start going around the city to dine and to do the different things that we had. I was like, oh, my God. I had truly never seen African-American people in such roles and positions and titles that I had never seen in my life. And it blew my mind. You know, city officials, doctors, lawyers, political figures. It blew my mind. So I said, that's where I want to go because I knew the dude I was. I was non-apologetic. I was brash. I was going to be me. And I felt like Atlanta would at least understand me. And I said, I'm not going to you. Don't draft me. I'm going to play baseball if you do. I'm not going there. And
sure Atlanta. Enough, Atlanta was
number five pick. I was so happy. I didn't know what to do.
And I also love the story that you told. And if you wouldn't mind telling the audience here as well, at the combine, when you would be pulled into rooms and you didn't know which room you were being pulled into by which.
Yeah. I was I was, you know, it had come back in that day, everybody was reaching for it. Agents was in the hotel. Yeah. Everybody was everybody.
Now it's all scheduled.
It
now
was scheduled, structured. You can't be in a hotel. You can't be on the premises. Then it was everything was wild. So I'm backing away from crowds and people trying to grab me. And I backed into this room and the Giants was there. And it was the Giants room and they had people sitting down taking these tests. What do they call these things?
Oh, yeah, like the psychology test, right?
I mean, the thing was that thick, man. And I sat down and they gave me this thing. And what is this? They say, it's this test and, you know, we need you to take it. I said, oh, what pick do you have? It's like the 10th. I said, I'd be gone for then. I got to be walked out. I'd be gone. Well, I'd be way gone for then.
And then let's just get into it here. I mean, Belichick said he watched you run the 40 at the combine and that you ran it and then ran into the tunnel. And is it true?
That's not true.
Okay. You did not run into a waiting car and being taken to the airport right then and there.
No, because I had more interviews and all of that. No. That story just grows and
it
grows.
It does. It's like a fish story.
It is. It is. That's not true. I did everything that I was asked to do. Now, I didn't lift. I ain't do none of that because Jerry Rice to this day hadn't laid across my arms and let me bench press him. You know, I don't know where that comes from.
I love that you say that when you're watching the defensive backs
put up the
weight and reps of 225. Struggling to get a fifth one up.
When have you ever said, man, well, if that guy would have got one more rep, he'd have been there on that play. Never. Or the three cone drill. Like, no, this has nothing to do with nothing. So I didn't do any of that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it all worked out.
Yeah.
Prime and his many appearances, including being a guest host here, and interviewing Morgan Freeman as a guest. All on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, and hit us with a follow. Why don't you? We would greatly appreciate that. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. We've got Dave McMenamin going to be here in studio to talk all about the NBA playoffs to date and what is to come. That is coming up in hour two. Mom doesn't want flowers you picked out from a website or chocolate you picked up last minute at a pharmacy. She wants to hear from you and feel part of your life. So this Mother's Day, coming up on Sunday, perfect time for you to not just call your mother, but get her some new tech and a reminder you love her with an Aura digital picture frame. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter, and Aura Frames was featured in 495 gift guides last year. I use it. You don't need to just look at pictures anymore on our phone. Take them from your phone, send them to the Aura Frame, and live the moments every day. And every single day, new moments right there on the frame for your mom. Right now, perfect timing for Mother's Day. Great deal. The gift that's perfect, visiting AuraFrames.com, and you get $35 off plus free shipping on their best-selling Carver Matte Frame. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code of Rich. Terms and conditions apply. This latest episode of how would you have answered this question if this was your son? Okay.
Oh, man.
Aaron Judge. He snuck up over 430 this weekend. At one point, he was hitting 434. Currently hitting 423 with 11 home runs, 33 runs batted, and 55 hits. You say he's like minus $1 billion for the MVP of the American League right now.
It's not even worth putting money down.
Cooper, 14 years old, turns to me and says, Dad, is Aaron Judge going to be the best Yankee of my life?
Oh, 100%.
That's your quick response.
Yeah, without question.
TJ?
You know, sometimes we get those questions, and I'm like, did the kid really say that? But I believe
Coop I swear to God, he says, Dad, is Aaron Judge going to be the greatest Yankee of my life?
Yes, unless Shohei Ohtani finds himself under the Yankees.
And then, I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
Probably, but I didn't see Aaron Judge coming either.
He's a late bloomer.
When Aaron Judge showed up, you could see he's got an incredible talent.
Yeah, size, power.
And even over the last 2 years,
yeah,
the power he was generating, he's now hitting for average.
Yeah, nobody saw that coming.
For a month.
I know that.
Yeah, I mean.
But the raising
guys
of
have hot months.
The raising of his game to this level, even, I didn't see that coming from the last 2 years to this year. Susie was giving the example that you never know what's going to happen. He even mentioned Lou Gehrig and how, you know, his career came to an end out of nowhere.
A judge did it 322 last year.
Yeah, but
she used that as an example of, you know, life short and you never know.
But barring any, you know, unforeseen circumstances, any tragedies.
I said at the end of the day, it sure looks like it, that Aaron Judge, you are 14 and Aaron Judge is going to be the best Yankee of your life.
How old is Judge? 33.
Unbelievable what he is doing right now.
Yeah.
And then it led me to think, who has been the greatest Yankee he's ever seen in his 14 years?
Coop?
And I thought to myself, and I told him, he doesn't remember, but it's Mariano. And speaking as somebody who's a Jeter fanatic, as you know, I call him the most perfect person on planet Earth. Also helps that he's a University of Michigan guy. And we'll talk about that later. And you know, Mattingly walks on water for me. My daughter's middle name is Mattingly.
What year was Coop born?
2011.
Okay, he played 2 years after that.
I know that, but he never saw him play.
Yeah.
So Judge is the best Yankee of anybody he can remember seeing.
Yeah.
But in terms of his lifetime, I mean, in terms of maybe even my lifetime, Mariano.
Better than Reggie?
I mean, Reggie was Mr. October, and yeah, I mean, what Reggie did was put the Yankees back in the World Series win column for the first time. What was at the time the longest drought in the history of the franchise. Now we're going through it.
I'm sure people will give you pushback against a reliever who may have pitched.
That's what I mean.
I know,
but 60 games that year instead of, yeah.
That's the only pushback I could see.
It was over. Yeah.
I will tell you this. I am to this day. When did Mariano retire?
13.
Okay. Totally spoiled. Yeah. Totally spoiled. When a Yankee reliever comes in and blows it, which Luke Weaver hasn't done it, but let's just use Devin Williams for an example in the first 2 weeks of the season. It's just like, how does this happen? I swear to God, the guy's totally ruined closers for me. Totally.
Well, he's an anomaly. You're not going to see
that. I know, which is why I point out he's maybe the greatest Yankee of my lifetime. And that's saying a lot. You know how I feel about Reggie, Mattingly, and Jeter. But all this stuff was like, Cooper just turns to me out of the blue because I think he came up with a triple to hit 434.
Yep.
His second triple of the month, I believe, if not the season. And he says, Dad, is he going to be the greatest Yankee of my life? And I'm like, man.
Definitely.
And then I sent you the screen grab of what Judge has done over the last 162.
Yeah.
And he's hitting 370 with 64 home runs and 100 gajillion RBIs.
He leads the league in 13 offensive categories right now.
But then you got to think, like, God willing, Coop's going to be around for another 70 or so years.
I mean,
so,
we're not going to go there. Now that's when the dad kicks in and was like, hey, what else is on? You know? But there you go. Dave McMenamin coming out to talk about the NBA.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.